Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 77, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 11 through 20. Hear the word of the Lord. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. The waters you saw, O God, the waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea, your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. This is the word of the Lord. And now as we prepare to hear the word proclaimed, let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for gathering us together in your name. We pray that you will bless each of us now, enlighten our hearts and our minds, and help us, Lord, to learn from your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then verses 13 through 25. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. You know, it seems to me that from time to time it's important for us to be reminded about the word love. It's interesting that some people find it difficult to use that word and may even be uncomfortable in expressions of love. But in other instances, we use the word very loosely and carelessly. I would love to come for dinner. I love to hunt. I love coming to church when there's going to be a potluck. Or perhaps I would love to tell my neighbor what I really think of him. He's the most unloving person I have ever met. I remember many years ago when talking dolls first came out, you could pull a string and a doll would say, "I love you." An inanimate object with no heart and no soul could be programmed to say, "I love you." And today, perhaps we too are programmed to say the word love without giving it a second thought. This morning we hear the words of Paul saying, "Yes, my brothers and sisters, we're called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself." So what does that mean? If I am to love my neighbor as I love myself, that suddenly shines a spotlight on what it is about myself that I love. It calls us to a time of introspection, of thinking about how others might view us. Are we viewed as kind and generous? Are we full of joy? Are we humble in our dealings with others, especially those who are less fortunate? In other words, if someone were to spend any amount of time with us, would they catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ? Would they sense the presence of God? These are tough questions. I and all of us are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, and that comes from a love that transforms us from the inside out. It is the Spirit of Christ within us, and it has come to set us free. According to Paul, this freedom that comes from Christ means that we don't need to be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. That yoke of slavery that he is talking about is our daily temptation to be of this world rather than being of God's kingdom. We can live in this world. In fact, most of us want to live in this world. But we can experience a new freedom that comes from Christ in our lives. I'm guessing that most of us have had someone in our lives who has been an example of that kind of love. Someone who has appeared to enjoy this freedom in Christ. Someone who always took the difficult times of life in stride, who seemed happy and caring, and whose humility made them so comfortable to be around. For me, it was my maternal grandmother. Her name was Genevieve, but everyone knew her as Jenny, Grandma Jenny, or Aunt Jenny. In many ways, her life was not easy. Money was scarce and luxuries were few. She canned from her garden, not as a hobby, but as out of necessity to put food on the table. A new dress came only after saving from her part-time job of washing dishes at a nearby cafe in the small town where she lived. And yet she never complained. She loved my grandfather in sickness and in health, in good times and bad. She always found a way to give her grandchildren something for Christmas. I remember especially a small slate with colored chalk. Simple gifts, but they were all she could afford. Guests in her humble home were always welcome to stay for a meal. The silverware didn't always match, and the plates were old, but guests felt welcome and were always encouraged to come again. She loved to play dominoes with me when I was a child, and I could always count on her laughing at my childish jokes and antics. When I went away to college, it was my grandma who would write long handwritten letters, and I always answered them because she was special. I still have those letters today. In her final years, Grandma Jenny went in her wheelchair from room to room in the nursing home where she lived, asking those who could no longer read if they would like her to read to them from the Bible. You see, she was a passionate Christian. She prayed and was quick to tell of her love for Jesus. She relied on God's grace to give her joy, and she felt that she had been richly blessed because of her family and her faith. She experienced the freedom of Christ. Her faith was extraordinary, and it was demonstrated by the way she lived her life. Her love touched many lives because it was the love of Christ. She was not burdened by the yoke of slavery. She was not encumbered by the temptations of the world. You know, it occurs to me that years from now, I won't have a grandson writing these words about me. But I hope that I learn something from my grandma Jenny that will endure. I praise God that today I can read this passage from Galatians and understand what Paul is saying. Not because I'm a pastor, but because I had someone in my life who exemplified the freedom of Christ. You all have someone too, I am certain. This freedom, which comes from love, is real. It is not just something written 2,000 years ago, which we hear about occasionally in church. It is the real transforming power of the love of Christ. Now, please understand that Christian freedom is not unrestrained permission to do whatever we please. Paul reminds the Galatian Christians that God called them to freedom, but he adds, "Do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh." When Paul talks of the flesh, it can perhaps be better understood as self-indulgence. Flesh is often Paul's shorthand for self-centered living rather than God-centered living. Love is the way that freedom in Christ expresses itself. Indeed, freedom in Christ makes radical loving possible, which fulfills the will of God for human relationships. Freedom to love and serve in the manner of Jesus is God's intention for all of humankind. And freedom is a gift from God given through faith. Like all good gifts, it can be misused, and it can even be used for harm. Now, Paul knows that people can misuse their freedom to dominate others. And conversely, people who love and serve can be taken advantage of and abused. Therefore, Paul moves to distinguish between self-centered living in the realm of the flesh and God-centered living in the dominion of the Spirit. Paul warns against the works of the flesh, which are reflected in a host of self-centered practices. Some that he mentions are obvious, of course, but there are several others that Paul brings to light that I want to highlight this morning. In the current atmosphere in which we live, it is interesting that such things existed in Paul's time, some 2,000 years ago. He calls out hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, and factions, and envy. Do any of those sound familiar? But just as Paul exhorted the Galatians in his day, we are guided by his words today. He says to rely instead on the Spirit's power for experiencing true freedom. Now we are talking about the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I read these words and I say, oh my goodness, how I hunger for a world where those traits are apparent, where they come naturally and without hesitation, where they flow from the heart and the soul. And yet, we know it is possible. We all have experienced someone who exhibits those traits. They sound like the description of my grandma Jenny. They sound like the traits of those in your lives who touched you with kindness and love. They sound like traits of Jesus himself. And indeed, they should sound like traits of Jesus himself. They are the fruit of the Spirit, just waiting for the invitation to transform our hearts and souls. And so, this morning, we remember Jesus, the teacher, the healer, the protector, the faithful companion, the humble servant, the Savior, the Messiah. His Spirit is with us today. And we remember the fruit that Christ the Lord has made available to us by the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. To the glory of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do thank you for the opportunity to bow humbly in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for understanding that the fruit of the Spirit is ours for the asking. And we pray, Lord, that you will inspire us on a daily basis to truly seek the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. Help us to be the images of Christ in a troubled world. And Lord, we thank you for those in our families or friends or in our circles within our communities, for those who have shown us that kind of love and kindness and goodness that has inspired us. And Lord, we thank you for any opportunity that we may have to share that love with others. Lord, this morning we pray for those who are not able to be with us because of sickness or for those who are suffering from illness, from those who are lonely, for those who are having troubles within their lives that prevent them from experiencing the kind of joy that we have. And Lord, for those who are in need of your healing hand, we do lift them up to you at this time, and we pray for your blessing upon them. Lord, we do remember Sophia Bishop, the little four-year-old who is suffering from a brain tumor. Lord, we do pray that you will continue to bless her and to heal her. We lift up to you Giuseppe Ocampo as he faces yet another procedure on his heart on July 25th. And Lord, we're going to continue to pray him right through that procedure. And we have confidence in your compassion and your love. Lord, we lift up to you Barbara Spangler, who is in need of healing of her shoulder. We lift up to you Priscilla Whitlock, who is in need of your comfort and healing as well. And Lord, we thank you for the times of joy. We thank you that you have protected Daniel Harrison as he arrived in Afghanistan. We pray that you will continue to protect him and bring him safely home. Lord, we thank you for successful surgery for Joanne Scholler. And Lord, this morning we give you special thanks for Justin Condiff. We thank you that he has been here to receive a gift of love from this congregation. And as he now goes forward to pursue new studies and a new career, we pray that indeed you will bless him, protect him, keep him safe, and Lord, give him the wisdom that he will need, not only to study, but to enter into the world of caring and giving that he will enter soon. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for the way you have blessed him. And we pray that he will know always that he has the love of this congregation behind him. So thank you, Lord, for all that we have. We thank you for the blessings that we enjoy each and every day in this beautiful community. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.